Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance purpose has been to proclaim Jesus Christ as he brings light into a darkened world. So glad you chose to join us today, and I trust the program will be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
Let's open up our hearts so that we can receive miracles in store for us.
Good morning. I really appreciate you listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. And spring is here, and tax time is here. I'm reminded that we are accountable, aren't we, to our government for paying taxes. We're accountable to our Heavenly Father for the way we live our lives spiritually. And the message that we're sharing today, a continuation of the message we began last week, titled Overwhelming Rebuke, preached in a revival setting a few months ago. And I hope it will challenge you to examine your own heart regarding your relationship with Christ. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I pray this will be the day that that takes place. Don't forget to pray for me, because this weekend I'm in a revival meeting close home, Sunman, Indiana, April 12, 13, and 14. And then travel to Portsmouth, Ohio, to Cedar Street Church of Christ and Christian Union, and look forward to that. And then May will be here. It's hard to believe. Time goes so quickly. Going to be at the Congregational Missionary Church May 5 to 8. Actually, I'm going to be in a retreat setting May 3 and 4 before going to the Congregational Missionary Church in Stonewood, West Virginia. So pray for me. It'll mean so very, very much. And also, would you take just a few minutes to pray about supporting the Lights of Spiritual Guidance? As we've often said, we're a faith-based, listener-supported radio ministry, and we do not receive any of the money into our own pockets. It goes right back into the ministry and to pay for ministry expense, as well as the expense of producing this radio program. And so we need your help. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give electronically. I'm scheduling meetings for the year 2026, and if you or your church would like to talk about scheduling a revival meeting, I'd love to hear from you. Again, the address, Loman Ministries, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless the program today. May the message challenge our hearts and the music be a blessing. Be with those who are struggling, those who are physically sick, who need help, a divine touch. Be with them today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace. There is nothing wrong with being a baby. We have all been babies, physically as well as spiritually. There was a point in time when you were birthed into the kingdom of God and you became a babe in Christ. And when you became a babe in Christ, then the natural expectation is that you're not going to stay a baby. That you're going to grow up into Him, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, that you're going to grow up into Him in all things, who is the head, that is Christ. I pastored a church in Nashville, Tennessee for 8 years, back in the decade of the 80s. Had a wonderful congregation there. It was Calvary Church of the Nazarene. We started with about 53 people, and God began to bless pastor and people as we began to grow. And the average age of that congregation, maybe 38 years old. Had a few senior citizens, but mostly young adults. And they'd come to college in Nashville, gotten married, gotten good jobs, and now they're coming to my church, having babies, didn't have teenagers because nobody was old enough to have a teenager. But we had babies. I mean, it seemed like almost every Sunday, I'd come to church and one of those young couples would come up to me and they were just beaming. I mean, you could see it on their expression. They would just walk up to me and say, "We're expecting. Congratulations." And it got to where it became commonplace. Every time I turned around, somebody's going to have a baby. So I just decided when I got up on Sunday morning to give the announcements before we began the worship service, I just looked at my congregation and I just simply asked, "All right, who's expecting this week?" And hands would go up all over the congregation. It was amazing. And when that young couple would have that baby and they'd bring it to church for the first time, oh, we made a big deal out of that. Got to make a big deal out of that. So I'd have that dad, "John, stand up back there. Show us that baby boy." And John would stand up, babe in hand, and go, and you know what we do when they do that? Oh. Oh. And we just moan and groan. And it was always interesting to me. After the service was over, I would notice how my people would gather around the new parents and the brand new baby. They'd just stand there and they'd gawk at it. I mean, they'd just look at that baby like they'd never seen a brand new baby before. They'd stand there and they'd make over it. And they'd say, "Would you look at this? Would you look at this? Isn't that amazing? Look at, have you ever seen such a head of hair in all your life? Look at the hair on that baby." And then they might say, "I think it's got its dad's chin and its mother's nose. What do you think? Look at that face. It's so round." And I'd stand and I'd watch this unfold right before my very eyes. And I think to myself, what's the big deal? They all look like little tiny old people to me. Babies. Sitting in my office one day, and I was thinking about my people. Any pastor worth their salt, they're concerned about their people. Concerned about their spiritual growth. And just like your church, Brother John, Melanie, just like any church, you've got those people you're concerned about spiritually. And I had a few in my church. I thought to myself, they should be further along than this by now. They should be deeper in their walk with Christ by now. They've been in the church most all of their lives. Why is it that I have to spend so much time with them? Why is it that I have to stroke them? I have to make sure their feelings don't get hurt. Why is it that I'm always having to make sure that they're all right spiritually? And one day it occurred to me. I don't know if it was the Holy Spirit speaking it into my spirit or it was something I just concluded on my own, but I came to the conclusion, I think I know what it is. It's the baby syndrome. Just like the babies. They want attention. They want to be coddled. And they let you know about it. When things aren't going their way, they may not be able to say a word like you and I speak our language, but they'll let you know, "I'm not happy right now." I thought, maybe that's why. They like the attention. Or they want it their way. He's saying, come on, Hebrew congregation. Nothing wrong with being a baby. But after 10 years, 20 years, should those characteristics of immaturity still be there? Now understand, there is a difference in being a babe and being babyish. We have to be childlike in our receptivity. We have to be childlike in our openness. We have to be childlike in our trust, childlike in our faith. The problem arises when we choose to stay in this babyish, non-growing position spiritually. And so the writer, maybe the pastor, says, let me just tell you something to make it plain to you. Let me give you the root causes of your spiritual dullness. And I want you to notice as we work our way through this, in the remainder of the sermon, I want you to notice the progression that takes place. How one thing builds upon the other. Notice what he says there in chapter 5, verse 13. He says, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. And he points out that apparently they're dull in the Word of God. They're dull in what they've been taught. They should by this time be gravitating toward deep spiritual matters. You know the teaching of the apostles. You know what we've shared with you. You know, you understand that. And you should be growing up in the things of God. But he says, obviously, some of you have become unskilled, are chosen to be unskilled in the Word of God. Spiritual growth should be taking place in your life. You should know the dynamic that comes from God's Word and God's Word alone. He says, oh, but not you. Some of you, you're just not getting it. You're not moving forward. The Word of God is not impacting you like it should. I wonder, just a rhetorical question for us. I wonder how our lives spiritually would be impacted if we read those parts of our Bible that we don't have underlined. We know the favorite verses. We know the familiar verses. But what about the rest of it? Dr. Leonard Sweet made the statement that our problem in the church is that we've got verse-itis. We're not schooled in the Word of God. He says, Hebrew congregation, some of you are still on the milk diet. You're still with the ABCs. You're still the little kindergartner over there in the little short around the short leg table. You remember those? The little short leg table with the little short leg chairs, and you've got the paper that's got the big wide lines, and you've got the great big round pencils. Remember those? You're still sitting there at that table, and you're sitting there, and you're going, A, B, nothing wrong with the ABCs. But after 5 years, after 10 years, after 20 years, should we still be there? There is a direct parallel between scriptural knowledge and spiritual maturity. Show me a person who demonstrates deep spiritual maturity, and I'll show you a person who's disciplined enough to be systematically involved in the Word of God. I mean, it's just the natural flow of things. If you're into the Word of God, it's going to feed your mind, and it's going to feed how you think and the way you respond in a variety of situations. Conversely, show me a person who has knowledge of the Word of God, and I'll show you a person who is deeply spiritually mature. You cannot have one without the other. I think the problem is, and this is my own assessment, I guess. I think that maybe some, not all, but maybe some, have never really understood the dynamics of spiritual growth and spiritual maturity as a result. You say, Lane, what do you mean by that? We go to a service, and my, what a service. Ever been one lately where the Spirit of God comes? I mean, just moves in. Or maybe gone to some inspirational event. Somebody sings, and you're stirred by the music. I mean, wow, it's just great. And you might hear somebody walk away from something like that, and they start toward their car, and they look at the person with them, and they say, wasn't that wonderful tonight? I mean, that was just marvelous. I just felt so close to the Lord in there tonight. It was just good. I really grew spiritually tonight. Probably not. Don't misread what I'm saying. It's not that we can't grow spiritually when we hear scripture in a song or something like that. But we need to understand that we don't grow because we felt better. We don't grow through emotions. We don't grow that way. We grow because the Word of God has gotten into our minds. And it's changed the way that we think. And the way we think gets into our behavior and causes us to desire to the very best that God has to offer. And as a result of all of that, we grow up into Him and we become that spiritual person that God desires all of us to be. I know we've stood tall. I know in the years that I've been in the church, which is all of my life, we've stood tall and we boasted. It's not what's up here that counts. It's what's down here that counts. And I understand that sentiment. But you cannot divorce the mind and the heart. They're intertwined. They work together. Oh, I like it when my tear ducts get all tangled up with my heartstrings and I feel my relationship with Christ and I do weep and I get blessed. I thank God for those moments. But that's not a time of spiritual growth. I grow when I come in touch with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit illuminates the Word of God. And I said, I've never seen that before. And I want that applied to my life. I want to be everything that God wants me to be. He says, you're dull in the Word of God, the Word of righteousness, Hebrew congregation. And that leads to their dullness in their behavior. Notice what he says in verse 14. Solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves. Trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Don't mishear what I'm about to say. I believe the Lord gives us strength when we don't have strength. I believe that we can pray for divine assistance when we need divine assistance. But we waste a lot of time praying for something that God's not going to respond to because it's our responsibility to train ourselves in the things of God. Discipline ourselves in the Word of God. Applying the Word of God to the pressure points of life. Oh God, help me be better. That's our responsibility. To read the Word of God and know how I'm supposed to live according to that Word of God. He says, you're dull in your behavior as a result of being dull in the Word of God. You see, the maturing Christian, the growing child of God knows the difference between right and wrong because they exercise their spiritual senses. They can see temptation coming a mile away through the eye gate, through the ear gate. They can recognize this is not of God. This is something I've got to avoid. I've got to resist this. I've got to call upon the Holy Spirit to come alongside. Be my paraclete. Help me to know which way to take, what to do in this situation. That's the maturing, growing spiritual person in Jesus Christ. But the childish, babyish, immature person that's dull in the Word of God, always backing and filling, always coming to the altar for the same old thing.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I do hope you'll find a place to worship. And if you live near any of the following churches, I know you would be welcome. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church, Willow Springs, or Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. Here in the state of Indiana, where this program is produced, in the city of Columbus, Indiana, I know you would be welcome at Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, or Flintwood Wesleyan Church. And in the state of Ohio, I know you would be welcome in the city of Fostoria, Ohio at Trinity United Brethren Church. Hope you'll take time to write us a letter of support. It would mean so much. You could write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or PayPal tag there. I hope you'll tune in next week at this same time. And in the meantime, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.